Here's some numbers for you. Australian summers are on average 31 days longer in capital cities than they were in the 1950s. And in regional towns, they're even longer. This year, Port Macquarie in New South Wales experienced 48 days more of summer than it did in the 50s and 60s. Those numbers come from research by the Australian Institute, which combed through data from the Bureau of Meteorology, comparing weather records from the 50s and 60s until the present day. My guest, Dr. Joelle Gergis of the Australian National University, takes an even more long-term look at what's going on with weather patterns in Australia. Her research looks at colonial records to see what happened historically with extreme weather. Dr. Gergis, if we first look at this summer, and many say this bushfire season is just part of, you know, natural climate variability, this is what happens. We've had correspondence to this program about that. From your deep dive into the historical documentation, is this summer an anomaly?
I think there's often this misconception because Australia is known as the land of drought and flooding rains, that the sort of extremes that we experience are just part of natural variability. But we actually know that there's a human fingerprint on the Australian temperature record since 1950. So what that means is that all of Australia's weather and climate actually is tainted by the global warming signal. And so while we have had extremes in the past, what has actually just played out over the summer is unprecedented. We actually had Australia's warmest and driest year on record, and that led to unprecedented bushfire conditions across much of the eastern seaboard, where we saw really significant ecosystems like subtropical rainforest, the largest stands of subtropical rainforest in the world, actually burn. And so what we are experiencing right now is, if you like, an amplification of Australia's natural climate variability, but it's got this extra kick to the system because of human influences on the climate system. So while we've always been the land of drought and flooding rains, climate change is actually making our conditions a lot more extreme than they otherwise would have been.
When you look at those historical documents, what have you learnt about bushfires over the course of 250-odd years?
Well, we looked at bushfires in Victoria. There was an event that happened in 1851, which was Black Thursday. And these fires are actually 10 times the area burnt of Black Saturday, which actually happened in 2009. So we've seen in the historical record that you can get these enormous extremes that cause a lot of trouble for, you know, Australian societies. But what's quite different to the events of the past is it was happening in that pre-industrial time, so in a time where there's really only natural factors that were influencing our climate. But since the 1850s, where we've had large-scale industrialisation, we've seen a lot more greenhouse gases pumped into the atmosphere to fuel our electricity and cars and things like that. And that has led to more heat-trapping gases in the atmosphere. And what that has done is actually change the way that our weather and climate patterns actually operate. And so we now have this human element influencing natural variability, which is causing more extremes. And so while we have had these large bushfires in the past, what's different about the sort of conditions we're experiencing right now is that these conditions are occurring in the absence of conditions that historically would have caused these large bushfires. So, for instance, the bushfires that played out in 2019-2020 were in the absence of El Nino conditions. So El Nino usually causes below average rainfall and above average temperatures across much of eastern Australia. And we actually saw the absence of these conditions in the bushfire season we've just had. So in the past, these historically relied upon relationships between some of these extremes like bushfires and heat waves and so on have actually occurred in the absence of what we would have seen in the past. So that sort of says to us that there's something different that's operating and influencing our climate system.
We've kind of focused so far on bushfire, but what about extreme weather? Because that's one of the things that you're looking at. What does history tell us about extreme weather in Australia?
Well, it turns out that the early settlers were really intrigued by Australian weather and climate, as you might expect, because we have this spectacularly erratic climate. And so the very earliest colonial records and newspapers, and there are even farm records and paintings, these gorgeous watercolour paintings that depict these extremes that might have been experienced. So, for instance, there was a lot of flooding that happened in Sydney in the very early settlement years. So from 1788 through to about 1790, it was actually really wet, and the colony at Sydney Cove got flooded out. And it wasn't really until 1791 where they started to have, there was an El Nino year, and that actually caused a lot of extreme heat. And we actually saw a lot of major impacts on wildlife. They describe birds and bats falling out of the sky from extreme heat stress.
Wow.
And the tank stream running dry. So their local water supplies were really impacted by these events. And so the beauty of these historical records is that you can cross-check them with any of these weather records that you might have. So the early observatories, the very earliest weather observations in Australia, were actually kept by William Dawes, who came out on the First Fleet. So he was aboard the Sirius, which was the flagship of the First Fleet. And he recorded weather observations 4 to 6 times every single day from 1788 to 1791, and that provided us with this snapshot of what the weather was doing when Europeans first settled Sydney. And what we were able to do is use these instrumental thermometer and barometer readings. So we were able to look at these temperature and pressure variations that we saw in the observations. And then we cross-checked it with things like the early colonial diaries, the explorer accounts, newspaper records, and we were able to cross-check. So if, for instance, the there was a heat wave recorded in the instrumental temperature record, and sure enough, we might have seen some reports in the newspapers of the time which describe some of these major impacts, like sometimes even heat-related deaths or lack of water supply if it was a protracted drought and things like that. So it's a really fascinating way of really getting a sense of how past Australian societies were impacted by climate extremes. And for me as a researcher, what's really interesting about these past extremes is that these extremes happened in a time in the pre-industrial period, so in a time where we were only really operating under these under natural climate variations. But so, for instance, if there was a big heat wave in, I think it was 1897, and over 400 people died during that event. So what happens, for instance, if you take a heat wave of that magnitude and then you warm the planet by, say, 2, 3, or even 4 degrees, what would an event of a similar type of magnitude look like in a warmer world? So for me as a scientist, that's a really intriguing question, because we want to understand how climate change is actually going to play out and impact Australian society. And the best way of looking at that is by looking at the past to see what type of natural variability already occurs in our climate records that we can go back and look at. And then we can start to do some really interesting science which looks at using climate models, and we can see what these events might look like as the planet continues to warm.
And what would it look like? Have you kind of pictured what that might be, or have we experienced it?
I think we've actually just experienced it. So the summer of 2019-2020, these conditions that we've just experienced, I just saw a paper that came out in Nature Climate Change just this week, which basically showed that the type of bushfire conditions we experienced over the summer is what we would have expected in the climate models by the end of the century. And these conditions become average by the middle of the century. And, you know, we're talking about unprecedented conditions by the late 21st century. So we've already experienced a little bit of a taste or a warning, if you like, of what extremes in this country are going to look like as the planet continues to warm. And I think that it's really going to rewrite Australian history because of the extent of some of the impacts we've seen of this particular bushfire season are truly extraordinary. We've seen, 80% of the World Heritage Forests of the Blue Mountains burnt, 54% of the Gondwanan rainforest networks, so the largest remaining stand of subtropical rainforest on the planet, burn. I mean, to me, these are extraordinary things to contemplate when you think about the trajectory of the planet is warming, Australia is warming, and we really are on the front line of climate change impacts because of the fact that we are actually a very large, dry country. We're actually the driest inhabited continent on the planet. And so we have really a lot to lose when it comes to climate change.
Fascinating work that you do, Dr. Joelle Gergis, Senior Lecturer in Climate Science at the Australian National University. Thanks for talking to Australia Wide.
Thank you.